The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So a warm welcome, one and all, especially to visitors and guests, and a welcome back to those returning to the congregation from afar. This fall, my husband and I spent 3 weeks in Southeast Asia. It was a profound experience on many levels, and because Christians were a minority in all three countries we visited, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Singapore, I was fascinated by and got a chance to learn a bit about other religions, namely Chinese Buddhism. In particular, the Buddhist temples really stood out to me because of their beauty and ornate decor and their bright colors. They were gorgeous. And in talking to people and learning, I noticed similarities among the religions, ours and theirs, and came away with an appreciation for the prevailing religion in Chinese-speaking countries that we visited, while at the same time being deeply grateful for being Christian. Mostly, I was struck again by how counterintuitive and really surprising the Christian faith is when compared to other religions. You may wonder why I'm lecturing on other religions on Christmas Eve. Because the Christmas story itself contains a comparison with another religion. Approximately 9 years before Jesus was born, 9 BC, an inscription was made on a stone in the center of the bustling city of Priene in the Roman Empire, in what's now Turkey. The stone inscription gave tribute to Providence for sending a savior who would end war. And it marked the birthday, in quotes, of the god Augustus, who has marked the beginning of the good news for the world. Sound familiar? The inscription was for Caesar Augustus, emperor. See, the prevailing religion in the Roman Empire was emperor worship. Augustus was the god who was worshipped. Not only was the month August named after him in tribute, but he was credited in the inscription with beginning a new age of peace, what was later called the Pax Romana. In any case, Luke wrote tonight's Christmas gospel about 50 years after that stone inscription and blatantly contradicted it and emperor worship in general by making the same claims about Jesus. Remember the angel's words, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the world, all the people, and glory to God in the highest and on earth peace." In short, Luke claims and confesses that the age of peace came not through Augustus, not through the emperor, but through Jesus. What does it mean that the age of peace comes through Christ and not worldly events? I think first it points to the reality of our broken world that cannot ever seem to get fixed when it comes to war. Since humans have always been self-centered, will always be self-centered, we can expect that there will always be war and conflict and injustice in our world, which is not an excuse to be complacent or self-centered. What we do makes a difference to our neighbor, even if only to a small number of people and only temporarily. Reality is, though, that human beings and societies will always default to self-centeredness. The Christian faith confesses that although human beings can do very good things, we have a deep flaw. Namely, we rely on the self or the tribe or our country for meaning and identity and think of this narrow perspective as the end-all and be-all of human truth and meaning, rather than the tiny drop we are in the ocean of human life and time. And even more, our self-centeredness drives us to be captive to certain ideals or rules. And with a constant need to prove ourselves to others, and with a constant need to judge our neighbors. In the Christmas story, the manger image is shorthand for this deep human flaw. Where does the Savior lay his newborn head? On animal food in a barn, straw, a manger, an animal feeding trough. The crucifixion reveals our flaw fully. What do humans do when confronted with God who reveals our flaw? Execute him. Reality is that we live in a world that will never be fully at peace for very long. There's no religious group, no government, and no person that can usher in an age of peace, the age of peace. We continue to try to work peace in our world. We continue to serve the neighbor, as God would have us do, and we make a difference. But because of human nature, we just can't make the difference. Not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but just speak reality and truth. So what does it mean that the age of peace comes through Christ and not worldly events. It means that we don't have the false expectation of peace in our world. And it also means that peace can be experienced in our world even during times of injustice and evil. It means that one cannot read a book by its cover either. That is, you cannot tell the quality of a person's inner world or experience by outward appearance or situation. It also means that God's peace looks different than our expectation of peace. It's counterintuitive. God, in the last place that we look, glimpsed in a feeding dish, revealed on an executioner's cross, seen in the faces of the loathed shepherds. In Jesus' day, nobody wanted much to do with shepherds. Heard in the voice of a poor teenage mother who trusted God, "Let it be according to you, Lord." In those Bethlehem fields, on that long ago dark night, God ushered in an era of a different kind of peace. And the angels were so delighted to bear the message of this different kind of peace that they couldn't help but break forth in song. The message was that God cared so deeply, so passionately for humanity that somehow, in a deeply mysterious way that we cannot describe with words or understand by logic, God took on flesh, humanity, so that we humans might trust him, our creator, and experience a peace that the world simply cannot give. And in the same way, tonight, God brings among us a message of peace. In a world that's in short supply of peace, I don't have to tell you that, God brings this different kind of peace. In the word spoken and sung through the preacher dressed in angelic robes, through a crumb of bread and a sip of wine, God promises that you do not have to be captive to fear or dread for the state of our world or our country. Even if the worst looks like it's going to happen, and even if it's in your personal life, God promises to bring you peace, to bring us this different kind of peace, and even joy. Tonight we celebrate the beginning of the age of this different kind of peace, born into our world with Jesus, who has comforted and sustained and uplifted countless believers for the past 2,000 years, and promises the same to you and to us and to generations to come. Amen.